Wrestling Radio. LockerRoomHQ.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio right here on LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirt, and today we're here to talk about Friday Night SmackDown. Now, tonight's show, I actually have to be honest, is actually really good. I'd say the first hour, maybe the first half hour, I don't know, somewhere in there, a little weak, needed a little more polish, needed a little more editing perhaps as they went into it, but second half of the show, fantastic. There's some stuff on this show I really, really like. The stuff I didn't like was, it was okay. It was just maybe not up to par, whereas the stuff I really enjoyed about tonight's show. So this is definitely a show you want to check out. And if you're just wanting the quick and dirty, wanting to know if you should watch SmackDown this week, you should watch SmackDown this week. For the rest of you who want your spoilers and whatnot, let's go ahead and get into the show. Open with the video package showing Swagger cashing in his Money in the Bank. Got his title. He comes down to the ring. They skimped on the pyrotechnics this week because they just had Swagger come right out at the beginning instead of doing their big hot opening. They have him come out. And he says that he's a changed man. Now that he's a champion, being a champion suits him. And he's proud of what he's accomplished and blah, 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 blah. Part of the problem was he had that kind of nervous heel delivery. It's kind of the same problem he had on Raw on Monday. And it was just one of those things where, guys who are new to the business, well, not necessarily new to the business, but new to being in a top spot up front, they have this tendency to pause where they think the crowd is going to jump in and start chanting or start booing, or they hear someone yell something and they've kind of lost their train of thought a little bit and they stop to look at that guy in order to have that extra second to kind of, collect themselves and remember what it is they're supposed to be saying. And of course, they do it at a very inopportune time when the person yelling really isn't saying a whole lot. And they just kind of come off looking a little awkward. And that's kind of what was happening to Swagger here tonight. He needs something else. And it was funny because they've built up his gimmick now is that he claims he doesn't have a speech impediment, which is something that they played with a little bit when he first came, but they've kind of forgotten about it because it was stupid and it really didn't work. And now they brought it back. But anyway. As he was talking about how he deserves to be champion, John Morrison comes out, and he just basically said, listen, you got lucky one night, that makes you a title holder, but that doesn't make you a champion. He showed clips of Swagger getting beat on Raw, he made fun of his lisp, he said that, you don't really have a whole lot in your life to be that proud of. And Swagger basically comes back and says, I'm champion. And the only thing that you have to claim to your name is that you're living in the Miz's shadow. And so Morrison made fun of his speech impediment again. So Swagger jumped at Morrison. Morrison ducked, pulled down the top rope. Swagger flew to the outside. And Swagger basically came off looking like a doof against John Morrison, who's not a main event guy. So they said that these two guys are going to have a match after the commercial break, come back, and they have a match, which was fine. Couple issues with it. One, WWE is still pushing that no blood rule. And so at one point, Swagger does get cut. And he gets cut on the side of the head, kind of on his temple. And you see the ref pull out the rubber gloves, put them on, stop the match, grab a towel, start patting it down. They have a doctor come out. He checks Morrison, make sure Morrison isn't bleeding, make sure it is Swagger's blood, check Swagger. I think they super glued the wound. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it wasn't that deep. They just patted it off and it was okay. But they stopped it at one further point a minute or so later and tapped some more blood off with the towel. So that was a little, I don't know. One thing about wrestling I always enjoyed is that when the guys got bloody, they just bled. It was just like, well, I'm bleeding, here we go. And, of course, the guys juice on purpose sometimes to, you know, kind of sell it. So seemed a little weird here, a little wacky, but whatever. So they did that match, the guys came off looking a little clunky here and there. Here's the one thing that kind of bothers me, and it's just that John Morrison is not a main event guy. The last thing they pushed him as was a tag team with R-Truth, which lost to the Unified Tag Team Champions at WrestleMania. So he's a WrestleMania loser, is his standing right now, and he's the guy who's going up against the world champion. So, I have a little bit of an issue with that. And I hope that them two being paired together here is a sign that they're going to try to push Morrison up the ladder, whereas Jack Swagger has gotten this slingshot up to the top as world champion that hopefully he's going to pull John Morrison along with him up to the top. And I'm just kind of afraid that instead it's going to be like when Rey Mysterio won the title a couple years ago, where he's going to come off as just this giant goofball who can never win. Just if he does win, it always happens to be with a fluke. And, he's just going to have absolutely no credibility, even though he is the champion. But regardless. So Jack Swagger ends up getting the powerbomb. They did do another funky spot that I feel I should mention where Swagger goes to the outside as Morrison is trying to hit Starship Pain, and so instead Morrison flips over the rope and he's going to do a flip off onto Swagger, and Swagger instead kind of spots it, and he does like this little jerk. I think they call it a deke. I don't know what a deke is. I'm not a big sports guy. I'm assuming that's a sports term. He does a deke, and Homie King, if you're listening, send me a text message or email. Explain this to me. But he does that little sidestep move and then runs up, clips Morrison's leg, drops him to the outside, and that kind of switches the momentum back into Swagger's favor, which pulling Morrison off the apron like that works as far as shifting momentum. My problem is that little deke, it's a little pause. He's starting to run one direction. He does this little pause like he's going to run back the other direction, zigzag, but instead goes back the original direction. And the whole time this is happening, I'm thinking, if the guy's starting to run, then Morrison's not going to do the flip. You know, he's going to jump down. If the guy's running off to the left, he's going to jump down to the right, you know, so he doesn't, come right into the guy's, arm length, come right into his swing. Instead, he's going to jump down off to the side, chase after him. And instead, he just kind of stands there staring at him with this little... And you would almost think that if you're going to be a guy who does a move like that, and you see Swagger come and do this little pause, that's the moment you're going to flip because you're thinking that he's hesitating. That's when you're going to make your move. And maybe he's not going to do a backflip onto him. He's not going to do, any sort of moonsault or, whatever. Maybe he would just, at that point, do a dropkick or something. But I don't know. It just seemed a little weird right there. But anyway, so Swagger gets the gut-wrench powerbomb after Morrison wipes out there on the side. And he celebrates for a minute, and I guess another problem with Jack Swagger here is his facials, where after he wins, it just seems so obvious that he doesn't know what to do. He's a good athlete, but a bad actor. He can do what needs to be done in the ring to have a nice, fun match, but he just seems to be lacking something in the personality and charisma area, which on a heel can be fine if he's played the right way, but he comes off instead looking like a guy who just doesn't know what to do. He's expressionless. Even a guy who is going to be calm, cool, and collected heel is still going to be making some sort of facials, especially after he wins. Some sort of smirk or some sort of... And And you'll see Swagger do that, but he has to stop and pose, take a deep breath, then remember to smirk. You know, it's just not natural with him. And I hope he can get over that. Because, again, I like the idea of him slingshotting to the top. I'm fine with him being a champion because he's a big guy. But, you know, he needs some work. They need to work on him a little bit more. So, anyway. Cut to backstage, and they had Jericho talking to his rookie about how he should be champion. Swagger came in and talked about how good he was for winning, and he says, you know, Jericho, I really hope that you win against Edge. He said, really, the only reason why I cashed in my money in the bank against you and not Cena was because it was a sure thing because you were hurt. And Jericho, you know, he got mad that it was called a sure thing. Even though he's hurt, it shouldn't be considered a sure thing. And he tries to take the title away, but, you know, Swagger keeps a hold of him, and they keep going back and forth. And basically, Jericho says that Swagger was trying to rip off his style. And Swagger said, you know, the only thing I'm going for with my look is the championship title. And so then Jericho looked mad and didn't know what to say. They played the Crime Time music and Shad came out. Actually, I thought it was LL Cool J for a second. Because they hit this music and a guy walks out, blandest looking brother you ever saw. He just wearing a white shirt, gold cross, blue jeans, boots. I was waiting for him to tell me that his mama said to knock me out or whatever. Or he's that type of guy, or Lisa got a big old butt. I don't know. But anyway, it looked like LL Cool J for a second there, but no, it was Shad Gaspard. Came down to the ring and talked about how, now it's not crime time, it's my time, it's not your time, it's my time. He said, you sit there and you watch people who don't deserve it to continue to get the spotlight, people who, your coworkers who you work just as hard as, but they always get the spotlight and it's time for you to cash in and get what you deserve. Blah, 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 blah. And this promo really didn't work because two reasons. One, Shad Gaspard lost the match. He lost the match against the Unified Tag Champions that he thought they should have won. So it was his fault that he lost the match. So it wasn't like JTG was being a show-off and keeping all the spotlight for himself, because Shad was the one who was in the title match, who put himself in there and lost. Number two, it's not like JTG was getting any sort of, push. It wasn't like he was breaking out as a single star. It wasn't like people were going, oh, it's JTG's crime time with that other guy. You know, there was nothing like that happening. So, this promo for me just really didn't seem to work. But he said, my time, it's not crime time, it's my time. JTG runs down, Shad bails to the outside. JTG tries to slide out the other side and follow him, but Shad instead hits him with the big boot as soon as he hits the ground. Gets over him, they put the camera right up into JTG's face to show he was hurt, and he had his eyes closed, and he kind of opened them back up to kind of look around, and he realized the camera was right in his face, and he closed his eyes again real quick, and just really kind of awkward. This is a taped show. You'd think they'd edit around that kind of stuff, but they did not, and there it was. Drew McIntyre comes out after the commercial break, comes down to the ring, grabs the microphone, thinks for a minute, takes a deep breath, thinks for a minute, takes a deep breath, looks around at the crowd, thinks for a minute, gets a little smirk on his face, grabs a microphone, pulls it up to his mouth, says, I'm not going to waste my breath on you people, and puts the microphone away. Awesome, awesome promo. Great promo. Matt Hardy comes out. The two of them have a match. It went on way too long. It was fine. It was, if you want to say it was 2.75 stars, 3 stars, I mean, somewhere in there. It was middle-of-the-road match, a little above average, maybe you could say, but not incredible, but by no means terrible. Just kind of, you could tell the crowd was into it in a couple spots, but then, they quickly, grew tired, whatever. Go to commercial, come back. They had McIntyre end up fighting with Hardy on the outside. He lifts up the apron so he can see where the steel beams are that support the ring underneath. And when Matt Hardy reaches down to pick up McIntyre to hit him with, you know, whatever move, McIntyre instead grabs Hardy and chucks him headfirst into the iron support beams underneath there, the girders, whatever, and picks him up, hits him with the Future Shock DDT on the outside, picks him back up, tosses him into the ring, covers him, gets the pin. So it was a fine ending for what it was. It probably just should have come, like, I don't know, 5 minutes earlier than what it did. But I guess all in all, you know, better than what we could have gotten. They announce Straight Edge Society coming up next. So they go to commercial, come back, and we get CM Punk, Luke Gallows, Serena, and Darren Young come down to the ring. Now, Darren Young, he's African-American, and they have him dressed up to look completely African. He's got this kind of crazy, almost like Orlando Jordan, when Orlando Jordan was with JBL hair. Not now that he's the, you know.
Berries and cream, oh, little lad who loves berries and cream.
So, of course, CM Punk wants to do this whole big thing where he's going to save Darren Young, he's going to shave his head. And it was funny to me. It was really kind of amazing because, you know, it really struck me here. And I've never heard anyone else mention this, and I don't know that I never noticed this before. But watching Darren Young here, he looks like a slightly thinner John Cena, spray painted with a very dark tan. I mean, take a look at his face, his cheekbones, the way he smirks, the way he looks. Like if you had an old TV and you could fuddle with the fiddle with the color contrast knob, whatever, and just, you know, turn the color down so it was black and white. I don't know if any of you were old enough that you remember old TVs like that. This type of TV I grew up with had wood paneling on the side. But, you know, you could turn down the color and it would look black and white. And if you could do that with your TV here, I'm betting you would look at him and say that's John Cena wearing a wig. I mean, that's seriously, like, I don't know. It was just something that struck me tonight. Anyway, so they brought out the chair. They brought out the clippers. They put Darren Young in it. They said they were going to shave his head. CM Punk kept talking about how he had, of course, offered to Rey Mysterio to have a match with him at Extreme Rules. And if he would lose, CM Punk said he would shave his head. That's how much he feels he needs to save Rey Mysterio. So, they put Darren Young in the chair and they ask, you know, who's ready to be saved? And everybody raises their hand. And then Darren Young kind of looks around. He looks at Serena. He looks at Luke Gallows. He looks at CM Punk and he slowly kind of pulls his hand back down and kind of looks down at the ground. He's like, and CM Punk's like, what's wrong? And he's like, you know, I changed my mind. I'm sorry. And, CM Punk gets in his face, you know, who do you think you are? Who do you? And Darren Young pops CM Punk. And so Luke Gallows attacks him from behind. They hold him down in the chair. Serena kicks him a couple times in the chest after CM Punk, beats the crap out of him. CM Punk comes back with the clippers. Is going to shave his head. When Rey Mysterio's music hits, Rey comes busting down as fast as he can, slides into the ring, clears all the guys out. CM Punk is laid out. Rey Mysterio goes for the clippers, goes to cut CM Punk's hair, and just as he's about to hit him, Luke Gallows reaches underneath Rey Mysterio's legs, grabs CM Punk, and slides him out of the ring. No haircut right now for CM Punk. But as the Straight Edge Society slinks off, Rey Mysterio gets on the microphone and announces that he accepts the hair match at Extreme Rules. And he says if he wins, he is going to actually shave CM Punk's head himself. Two things about this. One, it was awesome. This just CM Punk's, speech coming out here, his sermon, if you will, fantastic. Darren Young, for a new guy, showed a lot of charisma, much, much better than even Jack Swagger. Oops. And Darren Young came across as a guy who I was suddenly like, you know, I like Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, if you will. I think he's fantastic, and I really hope he gets picked up. I hope this guy gets picked up too. David Otunga on Raw. If I never see him again, I don't care. Something about Darren Young here tonight. Darren Young, Skip Sheffield, the Cowboy, and Daniel Bryan. So far, my three favorites coming out of NXT. All right, so anyway. One, it was awesome. Two, I understand that the Mexican flag is, green, white, and red. Those are the colors on the Mexican flag. So Rey Mysterio, being of Latino heritage, wants to wear something that has those colors. His mask is iconic, so they make a t-shirt with his mask on it, and it's colored, it's white with red trim and green trim, and it looks like the Joker face. It looks like those Obama posters with the Joker clown makeup on it. Why so serious? On some levels, I love it. I want that shirt because I kind of like Rey Mysterio, even though a lot of you guys don't. And it looks like the Joker. So it's awesome. But on the, on another level, it's just kind of like, I wonder if they thought that through. Or if it was just one of those things where once they got the shirt back, they were like, oh, yeah. So, luckily he's not from, someplace like, say just Spain. If you've ever seen the Spanish flag, it is, just red and yellow. And so you'd put that on his Rey Mysterio mask, and he's just going to end up looking like Ronald McDonald. So maybe, coming off looking like the Joker a little bit is a much better option for him. Regardless, though, awesome. Now, I was in a good mood here. So, they go to commercial, whatever. Out comes a tag team, Trent Barretta and Kaelin Croft. And I'm sure I've seen them before. I don't recall where. I don't remember if those were guys on ECW that made an appearance or two. But these guys came out, and I'm thinking, look at these two, they're never going to make it, they're never going to get anywhere, look at these guys. What could they possibly have to offer? They get in the ring, and they grab microphones, and these guys were awesome. If these guys were in TNA in a feud with the Motor City Machine Guns, it would not matter who was face and who was heel, because these guys were just awesome. If you could put those two guys together, they did a promo that was kind of similar to what the Machine Guns had with the Young Bucks. I think it was the Young Bucks of the Young Bucks on Impact about 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, before they were talking about the Destination X match. And it was, they were talking about how they never had to worry about family pushing them up through the ranks to get their spot in WWE like the Hart Dynasty was. They said that they are the Dude Busters, which is the dumbest name ever. I love it. They said they're great because, Trent Barretta turns to Kaelin Croft. Maybe it was Kaelin Croft turning to Trent Barretta. I'm going to have to get these guys straight. But one of them turns to the other and says, this guy is awesome because he beat Call of Duty Modern Combat, Call of Duty 4, in one day. And he sells it like, yep, that's me. I'm awesome. And then he turns to his buddy and he was like, playing basketball on the hoops, this guy in my driveway, 12 three-pointers in a row. Booyah! And he sold it like this was, this is like winning the Triple Crown in Japan, and now they've come over to take over America. These guys were awesome. Every minute of the promo, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, if these guys could bulk themselves up a bit, maybe get some extensions in their boots so they're a little bit taller, so they fit that WWE, look a little bit more. These guys have the charisma to be something awesome. In fact, I could almost say, in the long term, as much as I'd kind of hate to see these two guys split up because they're kind of, funny here together, but eventually, if these two guys split up and they could get them in feuds with bigger guys and they can get over, fantastic. These guys, fantastic. So anyway, out comes the Hart Dynasty. And Hart Dynasty suddenly face, you know, heels their entire career here as a tag team. And then they show up at WrestleMania and suddenly they're face. And from now on they're face. They come out and these guys just had a fun match. Everything about this match was just... I was glad to see the Dude Busters didn't get completely wiped off the mat. This is a feud that will continue. This was a lot of fun. They teased the Sharpshooter a bunch. They tried to go for the heart attack, but when Tyson Kidd went to do the drop kick, Kalen Croft ran in the ring, and so Tyson Kidd went after him instead of hitting the attack. And so it looked like the match may actually turn, but instead Harry Smith, being the bigger guy that he is, took down Trent Beretta, put him in the sharpshooter, and ended up getting the submission. Great, just great. Like, this is, after watching the Straight Edge Society promo, which was just awesome all the way around, and then these guys coming out, and I'm thinking, these guys are chumps, and then they call themselves the Dude Busters, and do this incredibly funny promo. And then they wrestled a good match. I mean, these guys, they didn't just, it wasn't like a Santino burial funny type of deal. They came out, they said their jokes, you thought, ha ha ha, these guys were funny, and then they had a competitive match with the Hart Dynasty. I loved it. I loved it. This was awesome. Cut backstage, they had Josh Matthews back there with Dolph Ziggler, talked about how Dolph Ziggler had knocked out the Great Khali with a sleeper. He said, how did it feel to take down a big giant like that? And Dolph Ziggler says, well, it kind of felt like this. And he turns and puts Matthews in the sleeper, knocks him out, stalks off. Kind of a good little promo there. It was short, it was sweet, it was to the point. It worked. And again, I hope this is the beginning of a little push up for Dolph Ziggler. They showed Edge getting ready for his number one contender match, and Swagger came in, said, basically what he said to Jericho, good luck, and I'm really pulling for you tonight. I'm hoping you make it to Extreme Rules. And Edge just basically said, at one point, I used to be cocky and overconfident just like you are. And, I won the title through the Money in the Bank, but I lost the title 3 weeks later. And he said, amazingly enough, in 3 weeks, I'm going to take the title from you at Extreme Rules. And he said, I'm going to do it by hitting you with a spear, or let me say it in a way you can understand, spear, and walked out of the room. And Swagger just kind of stood there for a minute and goes, I don't have a speech impediment. And he said it kind of like a crying guy on, I don't hit it. Shut up. And I didn't like it as much, You're going to make fun of his speech impediment. He's going to get mad. Fine. But is that the only time he's going to show any personality here? They still need to talk to him about that. Go to your main event for tonight. Chris Jericho versus Edge. Jericho still has his ribs taped up from going through the barricade at WrestleMania. Showed a lot of fun reversals here. There's just a lot of lion salts, walls of Jericho, DDTs. Just all the stuff that you expect guys to hit each other with, including Jericho hits the Codebreaker on Edge, but Edge falls out of the ring. Just all this, fun kind of stuff going on back and forth. At one point on the outside there, Edge tries to hit the spear on Jericho, but Jericho leapfrogs it. He instead gets hit with a dropkick. Falls into the crowd, and the two of them start fighting in the crowd. Referee counts to 10, and the two of them get counted out. So I'm guessing 3 weeks, Extreme Rules, triple threat, because there's no number one contender, which I'm fine with. Those two guys can help carry Jack Swagger through the match, and then plus they can kind of screw each other over. Jack Swagger can capitalize on the two of them taking each other out, retain his title. So no big problem there as far as all that goes. But these two guys... just fighting around the arena, just throwing each other into people, Jericho falling on some fat kids and, gets thrown into the barricade on the wrong side and, just all this kind of stuff as they brawl through the crowd and, just do all this kind of wacky stuff. And, it's always funny when you see like groups of little kids and they're wearing like their John Cena t-shirt. They got the John Cena wristbands. They're wearing the John Cena hat. They're booing Jericho. Boo, we hate you. And then he drops on the floor right in front of them. And then they all have to run up and, you know, tap him on the arm. Good job, buddy. Good job, buddy. Good job, buddy. Cause, you know, it's fun to see the stars. That's why you come to the live event, you know, get your hands on him. Oh, I touched Jericho's sweat. But, you know, I got to admit, how old am I? I guess I'm 33. Guess I turned 34 in July, so I got to admit, even though, you know, I'm that old, that, you know, I'm a lot of times when I'm somewhere and I meet somebody, you know, you're working an indie show and there's you know, some guy there, even if it's a guy like you know, Road Dogg, you know, most times, you know, someone's gonna talk about Road Dogg and you're just like, Road Dogg, whatever. But then you meet him in person, and you're just like, hey, hi, Road Dogg, nice to meet you. You know, I mean, it's something else when it becomes real and live and in your face. And it's just kind of funny to see these kids who are just like, boo, we hate you. Good job, buddy. Good job, buddy. So anyway, fighting through the crowd, doing all that fun kind of stuff. Ends up basically, coming back into the ring. Jericho, gets over on Edge, grabs a chair. He gets back in the ring. He's getting ready to hit Edge with the chair, goes to swing. Edge ducks the chair shot, hits a quick spear on Jericho. So Jericho, of course, sells the spear like $1 million because his ribs are still taped up. He's still injured. And Edge celebrates, even though he didn't win, he still celebrates that he beat the crap out of Jericho here. And that's the end of SmackDown. So even though I don't like the count out finish, I still thought it was a lot of fun to see that match. They got a lot of time. This was a match that got a lot of time, and while it would have been nice to see it get fully resolved, you know, what can you do? But I guess that's going to do it for tonight. We had a couple questions. There were a couple people that had some questions. First of all, someone asked what the actual ratings were for this week, and it was kind of surprising, actually, because TNA did a lot better than what people expected. Let's see if I can find it here. Here we go. WWE got a 3.2, which is actually pretty low for them. So that's actually kind of a scary point for them. Whether or not that means that Shawn Michaels leaving makes a big deal, or they've lost a lot of people, you know, to shows like Dancing with the Stars or the college basketball finals, whatever those are. But TNA got a 0.9. And that seems amazingly high, except the 0.9 came because their initial hour, which ran unopposed to Raw, which ran from 7 to 8, where Raw runs 8 to 10, that 7 to 8 first hour of TNA actually rated very high. Now, it dropped off in the second hour as a bunch of people went from Impact to Raw, but the fact that Impact was on for a whole hour unopposed earlier meant that all those Raw people tuned in, watched the first hour. They didn't stick around, but at least it showed that they are willing to give Impact a try. Of course, they picked one of the worst weeks ever to try it out, but they did so good there that Spike TV has announced that Impact is moving permanently to that hour earlier spot. So they will now be on 7 to 9, whereas Raw is going to be on 8 to 10. So you're going back to your old Nitro versus Raw time slots there. Plus, the TNA Impact replay is coming back on Thursday nights. So if you're someone who's used to watching it on Thursday nights and you just haven't really watched it since it switched to Mondays, well, then you can watch it again. So they're going to have the replay there. I think this is really a good move for them as far as, you know, you're going to give them that initial hour. You're going to hope to hook them and pull them in full time. But also, you know, doing that replay means someone who missed it, people who are more, you know, kind of casual viewers, maybe they watched it a little bit on Monday. Maybe they watched that first hour and they think on Thursday they'll tune in, watch that second hour. I think that's going to kind of help them in the long run as far as building a bigger audience, going back to those people who were used to watching on Thursday nights. So I think that's fine. As far as, you know, some people see it's like a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of smarts because they had some really scary low ratings numbers. And this is at least going to put them back, to a point where they can at least, you know, do all right there a little bit. So that's what's going on Monday nights. Big thing to keep in mind and remember the next couple days. So there you have it, folks. I guess the only other thing is they announced a couple new Raw hosts. May 10th will be Flava Dave? No, I'm sorry. Flava Flav is going to be May 10th. And then May 24th, John Lovitz. I don't know if John Lovitz, does he have a new movie coming out or something? Or is it just they just randomly want the critic to come out? I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Let's see here. Let's pull up John Lovitz real quick. Casino Jack. He's got a movie, Casino Jack, coming out this year. Hotshot Washington, D.C. lobbyist and his protege go down hard as their schemes to peddle influence lead to corruption and murder. Kevin Spacey, Kelly Preston, John Lovitz. Huh. So, is this movie coming out soon? I don't see a release date on here, so maybe. Who knows? Who knows? So anyway, John Lovett's going to be a host there for you. So that's something to look forward to, I guess, if you want to do that thing. Anyway, good episode of SmackDown. I would definitely say you want to tune in and watch this one. Lots of good wrestling, lots of fun angles. The Dude Busters. I think the Dude Busters are replacing Black Magic and the White Shadow. Because those two guys are fine as singles. They don't need to be teamed up with each other anyway. And the Dude Busters are... they're my new favorite team. So, ECW guys making good here, being able to cut a promo, get on a big stage. Awesome. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me today. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to come back next Tuesday, where we'll have a podcast doing a rundown of Monday Night Raw and Impact. And I'll just talk to you guys then. Thanks for listening.